Our church had talked about going on a mission trip to Sierra Leone for several years, and this year we finally fulfilled our dream. The purpose of the trip was twofold: to learn about Sierra Leone, the homeland of most of our African members, and also to explore future mission partnership opportunities. On February 6th, Diana Bramble, Greg and Melinda Knapp, and I hopped on a plane to Chicago. After two more connecting flights, we finally arrived in Sierra Leone late afternoon on the following day and were warmly greeted by Pastor Daniel, who had gone there a few days ahead of us. A 40-minute boat ride took us to Freetown, where Sar Moiwa, another church member, was waiting for us. And so we began our journey together in Sierra Leone. I have already written twice about the trip in our weekly e-news midweek message. Today, I have invited members of the mission team to share their reflections on the trip. Diana will talk about our school visits, Greg about AMDCF, Melinda about culture and hospitality, and I will talk about the churches, especially United Methodist churches, and evangelism. Unfortunately, Greg and Melinda could not be with us this morning, so Diana and I will read their reflections. So now, let us start with Diana's reflection.
Good morning, church. Glad to be back home. Well, I'm giving you the reflections on what we have done. We visited two United schools during our trip to Kaima School in Kono, the province of Mongeria School in Bo, in the Bo's district. At Kiyama School, teachers assembled and students outside the school building to welcome us. The students were well-mannered and seemed to be excited to meet us. They sang several songs, and one of them was "Tell Me, Papa, Tell Me," which was instantly recognized after the assembly. Most of the students were sent away for lunch, and we went inside to meet with middle school students, their teachers and principal, as well as several community leaders. During the meeting, we asked them how best we could help the school. Among the needs they talked about were learning materials and food for the students. Many of the kids came to school hungry in the morning and leave school hungry in the afternoon. Because their families are very poor and the school does not have money to feed them. We listened to them tentatively and told them that we would try to help them in whatever way we can. Lunch was prepared for us. Thanks to the generosity of our church members, as we were able to surprise them with a gift of $600 and also our Campbell UMC t-shirts for the teachers. After the meeting, we spent some time at the school meeting with some of the other students. The UMC school in Mongeria in Bo district was much smaller than that in Kiyama. We were told that new classrooms had been built since Pastor Daniel delivered shoes to the students and teachers 4 years ago. We were greeted by a group of women who came up to the church singing and dancing. We met with the teachers and principal and the school. The pastor of the church, some of the townspeople, some cheers were brought in by the students for the meeting. The school children sang songs and the pastor led us in prayer. Most people in the room spoke only Mende, and so the pastor had to serve as the interpreter during the meeting. We asked them how best we could help them, and they stated that they needed a lot of help and would appreciate whatever we can render. We listened to them attentively and promised to get back to them. Pastor Daniel asked the people to stand if they were recipients of the shoes he had brought to the school 4 years ago, or just remembered it. Quite a number of people stood up, and a couple of people spoke words of appreciation. After Pastor Okian presented to the pastor a gift of $600, and he was so happy that he took out the money from the envelope and counted it before the congregation. After the meeting, we gave out our church t-shirts to some of the attendees.
We were sitting in front of the congregation, and somehow I forgot to take a picture. I was standing there. I don't know if anyone else took a picture or a video of the pastor counting the money. It was $100 bills. He said, 1, 2, 3. You could tell people just staring at him in excitement. It was quite an event. This is a reflection from Greg Knapp. We had a wonderful trip to Sierra Leone, and what follows is a quick update on just one aspect of that trip, our interactions with AMDCF. For those who have been with the church for a while, you will recall that AMDCF is the Abdul Miracle Disabled Children's Foundation. It was launched and is headed by Sar Muiwa, who kindly stayed in Sierra Leone for an extra 3 weeks at the end of a long trip to work with Pastor Daniel in showing us around. AMDCF was founded by Sar Muiwa after a tragic car accident that claimed the life of his wife and left Abdul's life hanging by a thread. Abdul made a truly miraculous recovery, and you can see the 12-year-old boy scampering around with the other kids on Sundays here at our church. In thanks for his son being saved, Sar formed AMDCF to help ensure children in Sierra Leone have a chance to a good education. Sierra Leone has had a very tough time since its independence from the UK in 1961, particularly late in the last century. From 1991 to 2002, a brutal civil war displacing 2 million people and costing over 70,000 lives was started by warlord Charles Taylor from Liberia, who wanted access to Sierra Leone's diamond mines. After a tenuous recovery from the war began, Ebola killed over 5,000 people from spring of 2014 to the end of 2015. On a ranked list of per capita income, Sierra Leone sits at number 217 of 229 countries. With a per capita income of just $1,600 per year, or $4.38 per day for its people to live on. In these harsh conditions, the disabled have nearly zero standing. They have forgotten people. They are forgotten people in an environment where even the abled body can struggle to get by. AMDCF helps by paying all expenses to send disabled kids to good schools. The foundation is run by volunteers and a small paid staff of 3 in Sierra Leone. I had the privilege of working with SAR on some fundraising efforts here at church a couple of years back. Part of that effort was assembling biographies of the children for flyers to distribute here in our church. From that work, I felt like I came to know some of the kids, or at least their stories. So imagine my delight and actually meeting several of them face to face in a meeting arranged by Saar on Sunday afternoon. The meeting featured talks by parents, teachers, and the kids themselves. It was a very moving afternoon. Saar Johnson, who is 16 years old, has been unable to walk from birth due to neurological issues. He is one of the most eloquent spokespeople whom you could care to meet. He wants to become whoever God wants me to be. Mariama Kamasan, who is blind, aspires to become one of the great personalities in the world. Durian Samu, who wants to become a lawyer, also spoke very eloquently, reminding us that AMDCF kids are not disabled, but just differently abled. Durian is graduating from the School for the Blind this year. In addition to the presentation, we visited the AMDCF office and met the staff, Husman, Victor, and Peter, and they joined us on some of our other events during the trip. The trip overall was great, and I look forward to sharing more pictures and other experiences in a future presentation. Now let's hear Melinda Knepp's reflection, read by Diana.
What an amazing trip. We saw firsthand the struggles and the resilience of the people of Sierra Leone. There are so many stories, experiences, and observations that we can share with you. But today I'm going to talk about the culture and the hospitality we experience in Sierra Leone. Let me start with Freetown. On our first day going downtown, I was overwhelmed with the sights, sounds, smell, and number of people we saw. Freetown is a large, busy city. Imagine a two-lane street filled with full-size cars, motorcycles, small three-wheel cars, dogs, people, and horns constantly honking as drivers passed slower vehicle whenever there was a small opening. Open air markets lining the streets, selling everything, clothing, produce, cleaning supplies, housewares, electronics, luggage, people living wherever they can. Multiple story buildings next to homes made from whatever supplies are available. While we were visiting the AMDCF office, we came out to find someone washing one of our cars. People do what they can make a living. When you turn off the main roads into neighborhoods, the pavement ends and you are on unmaintained dirt roads. They are narrow and full of potholes. It doesn't matter if you are a poor, middle class, or affluent neighborhood because they share the same streets. Leaving Freetown, heading for Kona Province on the main road that heads east, cars were replaced with people on foot or motorcycles with three, four, and once even five people on them. We passed through the small villages that looked like they could have been an issue of the National Geographic. Moms working outside and small children playing or strapped to their mother's back. Along with dogs, there are goats wandering around. We also passed through the cities with more hustle and bustle, and mostly it was countryside. It was similar heading south to Bo District. The two schools we visited were off the main highway on dirt roads with potholes and rocks. A 20-mile drive took us about 2 hours. We passed through small villages, farming communities in the south, and diamond mining and farming in the east. We saw uniformed children walking to school, women walking to a neighborhood village carrying on their heads items that they would be selling at market. In some villages, we saw a community well, women washing clothes, and in a nearby creek, a cement slab for drying food, clothes, and or cocoa beans for export. All through our travels, we experienced wonderful hospitality. On our way to Kono and Bo, we stopped for lunch at the house of our church member, Samoa's mother-in-law. Kaima school teachers prepared lunch for us in Bo City. A local church member brought dinner to our hotel. While in Fremont, Samoa's father-in-law had us to his house where we enjoyed a delicious dinner catered by his younger daughter. Our meals consisted mainly of rice, chicken, fish, goat, cassava leaf, and cabbage and carrots, and fried plantains. I hope this gives us an idea of what we experienced in Sierra Leone, and I look forward to sharing more details and pictures in the near future.
As Diana read from the Melinda's reflection, we had a wonderful hospitality, so much food we ate, yet the most impressive or touching food, the memory of eating food was from Kaima school. Eating the lunch the teachers cooked for us, one of the teachers cooked for us. It was prepared in a pot, and then they put in the two tables for us to share. And then we realized that was it. There was no other food for the teachers. So we quickly decided that if we leave some, then the teachers will eat the leftovers, and we were right. So as soon as we finished, we said, we are done, we are full, they began to eat our leftovers. That was really touching moment, and then heart-aching moment, actually. And at the same time, during the time, I saw lots of children, though they were sent out into the village to eat, to buy their lunch, or if anyone brought lunch, they would eat their lunch. But most of the children were just playing in the playground and under the sun because they did not have any food to eat for their lunch. So that was really heartbreaking. So during our trip, this is my reflection, focusing on the churches and evangelism effort of the churches. During our trip, we saw many church buildings and signs, especially Methodist church signs. But according to 2010 estimates, only 21% are Christians. 77 to 78% of Sierra Leone's population are Muslims. And the remaining 1 to 2% have traditional African beliefs. Sierra Leoneans are well known for their religious tolerance. It is common to find both Muslims and Christians in the same family living together in peace without any problem. It is very rare to hear about any religious violence in the country. We are told that even during their civil war, people were never targeted because of their religious faith. Both Muslim and Christian holidays are observed as national holidays. The large majority of Christians in Sierra Leone are Protestants. They are Methodists, Presbyterians, Baptists, Seventh-day Adventists, Anglicans, Lutherans, and Pentecostals, non-denominational Christians, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Latter-day Saints. Can you guess what is the largest group among them? Yes, the Methodists! There are two major Methodist denominations in Sierra Leone. The Methodist Church Sierra Leone, MCSL, which originated from British Methodism, and the United Methodist Church, which began through American missionaries. Between the two, the UMC is the larger denomination, though it started much later than the MCSL. During our trip, we worshiped at two different United Methodist churches in Freetown. The first was an established church with a long history, and the second was a relatively new church that was started by another established church in town. Obviously, Methodist churches are growing in Sierra Leone. About 2 years ago, the United Methodist University was established in Freetown to train future clergy. And all United Methodist churches in Sierra Leone are giving special offerings to support the school in addition to their giving to support denominational ministries, the special offering that we call here apportionments. The work of the MCSL began in Freetown and spread to the interior of the country. But the UMC went the other way. It started in the interior and spread into the capital city. No wonder we saw many more United Methodist Church buildings in the rural areas than in Freetown, especially in the southern part of the country. One thing that stood out to us about United Methodist churches in Sierra Leone was the fact that most of them had their own schools for children. Because they receive assistance from the government, the United Methodist schools are considered public schools, but they are still allowed to do religious education. So the students at United Methodist schools are required to learn hymns, Bible stories, and the Lord's Prayer, even attend the church. We were quite impressed with their joyous singing and earnest praying during our visits to the two United Methodist UMC schools. Through their education, children naturally came to accept Christian faith and became United Methodists. Indeed, the education of children is the most effective evangelism tool for the UMC in Sierra Leone. By the way, our pastor Daniel told us that was how he became a Christian. He grew up in a Muslim family but went to the UMC school, and that's where he accepted Christ. Currently, students have to pay tuition and admission fees for their education. Thankfully, in the fall of 2018, the Sierra Leone government started an initiative to give free education to all children. However, it will take a few more years, at least 3, 4, or even 5 years, for all the students to benefit from this initiative. As Diana mentioned earlier, at both schools we visited, we are told that some students are too poor to have lunch. Yet the school does not have money to feed them, since the government assistance is barely enough to pay the teacher's salary and to purchase teaching materials. Even some teachers do not even get paid due to lack of funding, so they just volunteer. At Kaima UMC School, one of the community leaders said, "In the past, we had missionaries who came to help us, but they're all gone. We have been forgotten. Please help us. We need your partnership with us." The district superintendent who accompanied us said, "Kaima is the only circuit without a partnership from overseas." After our meeting, one of the teachers handed me a small piece of paper on which he hurriedly wrote, "Please, Pastor, we really need help to change the future for our brothers and sisters and the next generation." A day before flying back home, we met with Bishop Yambasu, the bishop of the Sierra Leone Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church. As if He already knew how we were feeling after traveling through the country and visiting the poorest areas of the nation. He told us a story of a man who was trying to save countless starfish that were washed up to the seashore by throwing them one by one back into the water. He said, "We need to do whatever we can to help the poor, saving one at a time." By the way, he was very pleased. He was so happy to receive our cash gift of $1,129, all the money that we had collected for his Cal project for the poor families in the rural areas. In closing, this was how we looked on the first day of our mission trip. All smiling. I don't think you would want to see how we looked on our last day. None of us thought about taking a picture. Our trip coming back home seemed to take forever with some flight delays and tight airport security checks. By the time we arrived at San Francisco Airport last Wednesday evening, we just wanted to go home and take a shower and go to sleep. So we were so happy to see Bruce Helanan, who had dropped us off there and to pick us up. We are very grateful. We, the mission team, are planning to have a full presentation with more pictures. There are tons of pictures. These were just small, some of the pictures we just pulled from our cameras. And there are videos. And the videos of kids singing welcome song, welcome UMC. Those wonderful videos. We'll do that presentation with more pictures and videos after Pastor Daniel comes back from Sierra Leone next month. Of course, we have many more stories to tell you. We want our church family to brainstorm, to come together, and to brainstorm together to find out how we can be witnesses of Jesus Christ in Sierra Leone, what we can do to help our brothers and sisters in this beautiful country in West Africa. So stay tuned. In the scripture reading for today, Jesus told his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." My friends, we have already received the mighty power of the Holy Spirit Jesus had promised. We have been given many gifts. And God is now calling us to come together with the gifts and power we have received, to plan and work together, to touch the lives of others by God's surprising grace, to witness in God's name in our cities, in our state, in our nation, in Sierra Leone, in every corner of the earth. We all are one in mission. We all are one in call, our varied gifts united by Christ, the Lord of all. Let us be a vessel for Jesus Christ, God's redeeming word. Thanks be to God. Amen.